Today's daf is Megillah daf Yud Gimel, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Beis Amid Beis Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habira. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Chaim Aharon Ben Fega, Tamar Bas Chasida from Arifka, Eliyoza Ben Brindel, Mordechai Yisrael Ben Esther, Chaim Gavriel Ben Esther Chaya, Miriam Bas Chaya, Chaim ben Shendel, Chana Rivka bas Freida, Menachem Mendel ben Rochel Mendel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yuta, Gittel bas Chaya, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nosen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Reuza, Chaim Nechama Edel bas Sara, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Moshe ben Sara, Sara Shainza bas Yittel, Elio ben Silla, Etel bas Hendela, Hena Perel bas Yecheved, Fega Liba bas Chava, Rafal Kos ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rochel. Today's daf's also being learned to Ilu Nishmas, Doiv Beryl, Ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So the Gemara is continuing its discussion, the Torah Shebaal Peh of Megillas Esther. We're all familiar with the general story, so without any introduction, we're just going to continue along. So the Pasuk says, Ish Yehudi, Hoya B'Shushan Habira. Ushmoi, and the name of this Ish Yehudi was Mordechai, who was the son of Yair, who was the son of Shimi, who was the son of Kish, and then the Pasuk says that he was an Ish Yemini. Says the Gemara, it's interesting that when the Pasuk introduces Mordechai, it introduces him and refers to him as the son of his father, grandfather, and even great-grandfather. So the Gemara says, Maman of Shach, my karma, Ili Yechusa Kasi, if the objective of the Gemara is to mention his Yichus, then Liyachsi Vazal Abin Yamim, then let's give him his whole Yichus brief, and that would go all the way back to Binyamin. Mordechai was from Shevet Binyamin. Elo, obviously, that's not the point of what the Pasuk's trying to do. We don't want to say his whole Yichus, every single Choshev Zayda that he ever had. Must be, we're hand-choosing these three. So if that's the case, the obvious question is, Maishnahani, why are we picking these three? So the Gemara says, Tana, there was a Braisa that already addressed this. Kulan al-Shmoy Nikru. The reason these three names are mentioned, because these three have something to do with the essence of Mordechai. Ben Yair, the Pasuk says that Mordechai's father was Ben Yair. Pashat, his father's name was Yair. But there's a drasha over here. He was a Ben. Sheheir Einayim Shal Yisrael B'Tfilasa. He was somebody that lit up the eyes of the Bnei Yisrael with his tefillah, meaning there was a darkness in the world at the time of the Gzeirah of Haman, and that darkness was lit up through the tefillahs of Mordechai. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshama Kel Tefillasoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the tefillahs of Mordechai, and as a result, he's described as being a Ben Shimi. Ben Kish, Shehikish Al Shari Rachamim V'Niftechuloi. The Shari Rachamim were closed at this time, Ayin B'Marsha, and Mordechai knocked on the door of the Shari Rachamim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered and opened up the door, so that Mordechai's essence is related on some level to be Ben Kish. So Pashup Shan in the Pasuk is, Mordechai is the son of Yar, who was the son of Shimi, who was the son of Kish. But says the Gemara, the reason we mention these three Zaydas is because these three names actually have a connection to the essence of Mordechai, and to what Mordechai pulled off on behalf of the Jewish people. He was Meirei Neim Shal Yisrael B'Tfilasai, Shama Kel Tfilasai, and Hikish Al Sharei Rachamim V'Niftuchuloi. It's interesting that all three things that the Gemara mentions as a description of what Mordechai did were related to the tefillahs of Mordechai HaTzadik. So it seemed that the tefillah of Mordechai was a very, very big deal. Meaning, we know that high level, Mordechai was the one that oversaw, he presided over the miracle of Purim, together with Esther and other members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. But what's the emphasis? When we talk about who Mordechai is, what's his essence? There's three words that describe him. He's Ben Yair, he's Ben Shimi, he's Ben Kish. And what does it mean, says the Gemara? It means tefillah, it means tefillah, it means tefillah. And what comes to mind is the Rambam that we spoke out so fleetingly the other day. The Rambam who mentions at the end of his Minyan HaMitzvahs, it's printed in the beginning of the Mada Chelik of the Rambam. So after he lists the 613 mitzvahs, there's a short paragraph where the Rambam talks a little bit about mitzvahs. And then at the end, he digresses and he talks about Purim. And his lashon is that the reason Hashem commanded us with the mitzvah of Purim and a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lav Yoinim, it's of course to give Shvach Vaidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ukedei. And then he says, but there's another punchline. Lohidia L'Doris Habayim She'emes Mashi Hifti Chanu B'Toyra Kimigoy Gadol HaShaloyah L'Kim Krevim Eilav Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. The story of Purim is exhibit A for the power of tefillah. Meaning, it says in the Torah that if a yid's can ever be in a tzara daven, and Hashem is going to answer your prayers. Mechateisi. We need, for some reason, to give an example, l'doiros, like this, Jews will know that this is the way it is. So what's the example? The Purim story. Kidei lohidia l'doiros habayim she'emes mashif tichanu b'tayra. It's a pella. You need to make a yontif and a zecher to realize that something that the Torah said is emes. The Torah said it. Of course it's emes. It's a fascinating idea. But the bottom line is that's what Purim is. Purim is about the koyach ha-tefillah. So it's not a chiddush that Mordechai, who is the gadol, who the manik through whom the whole Purim miracle happened, what must have been a big part of his koyach? Tefillah. Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. Tefillah, tefillah, tefillah. So says the Gemara. So the beginning of the pasuk says that Mordechai was an ish Yehudi. And then at the end of the pasuk says he was an ish yamini. Now, taken literally, ish yehudi means he was from Shevet Yehuda. Taken literally, ish yamini means he was from Shevet Binyamin. Frank the Gemara, Karla Yehudi, Alma mi Yehuda Kasi. Karla Yamini, Alma bi Binyamin Kasi. So which one was he? Was he from Shevet Yehuda or was he from Shevet Binyamin? Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Mordechai Muchter ben Imusai Haya. Mordechai had a lot of names, clearly. And specifically, ish yehudi and ish yamini are part of the many names that Mordechai had. What does this mean? So the Gemara explains. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachan, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Aviv mi bin Yamin, v'imay mi Yehud. Mordechai's, on his paternal side, came from Shevet bin Yamin. On his maternal side, he came from Shevet Yehuda. Now, what does it have to do with having many names? What does it have to do with being Muchtar bin Musa? Because ordinarily, when we describe a person throughout Tanakh, so we describe him as being a member of the Shevet of his father, and his father's father, and his father's father's father, going back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. We usually don't describe a person as having Gichos from his mother Shevet. That's the Chiddush of Mordechai. That Mordechai is an Ish Yehudi and an Ish Yemini. Ish Yemini from his father's side. He was an Ish Yehudi from his mother's side. That's a chiddush. Thus, he's muchtam in musra. Modern amri mishpachas magara zubazu. That the connection to Binyamin and Yehuda is related to something else, and it's related to conversations that the families of Yehuda and Binyamin respectfully used to have. Mishpachas Yehuda Imeres, the mishpach of Yehuda used to say, "I'm the one that caused Mordechai to come into existence." Why? Because David HaMelech could have, would have, should have killed Shimi ben Gera. He chose not to kill Shimi ben Gera. Mordechai was a descendant of Shimi ben Gera. So really, had David HaMelech killed Shimi ben Gera, there may have never been a Mordechai. So Shevet ben Yehuda was taking credit for Mordechai. And they said, oh, Mordechai, you want to know where he came from us. I mean, what Shaykh is? What does it have to do with Shevet Yehuda? What do you mean? Because David HaMelech was from Shevet Yehuda. He could have killed Shimi ben Gera. He didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. That's the only reason there's a Mordechai. So they were taking credit for him. The Mishpachas Binyamin Amra, Mishpachas Binyamin said, Minoy Kasi. No, it comes from us. Why? Because literally, Mordechai was from Shevet Binyamin. So the reason he's described as being an Ish Yehudi, even though really he was an Ish Yemini, is because Shevet Yehuda on some level was taking credit for Mordechai. Rava said something similar, but mamish the opposite. He said, Knesset Yisrael Amr le'idach Gisa. It was just the opposite. Re'uma asa li'Yehuda, u'ma shilim li'Yemini. Rava says, you want to know what the Olam was talking in the Geselach of Shushan Abira? This was the conversation. They were saying, Ma'asa li'Yehudi. Look at what someone from Shevet Yehuda did. Like, Katli David Hashemi. David HaMelech was supposed to have killed Shimi Megera. He didn't kill Shimi Megera. This Yamane Mordechai. And Mordechai was born. The Mikni Be'ba Haman. And he raised on. He incited Haman. Right? Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachva. We'll talk about that soon. So he didn't want to bow down to Haman. And then eventually this whole issue happened. Umashim le'yamini. And they were blaming Binyamin as well. Like, because Shaul HaMelech came from Shevet Binyamin, and he had an opportunity once upon a time to kill Agag. He didn't kill him, and what ended up coming? The Sialid Minei Haman, the Mitzar Yisrael. Haman was a descendant of Agag. He came from Amalek, and he's the one that ended up causing the problems. So the Yidden were pointing fingers in the street, and they were blaming two people for what happened. David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech. They were blaming David HaMelech for not killing Shimi ben Gera, which caused Mordechai to be born. As if to say, if there's no Mordechai, there's no Lahashmid Ulaharig. Additionally, they were blaming Shaul for not killing Agag. Agag eventually becomes the grandfather of Haman. If Agag is killed, there's no Haman. Obviously, if there's no Haman, there's no Gzeri Lahashmid Ulaharig. So the Yidden were walking around, they were blaming, and that's this idea of Ish Yehudi, Ish Yemini. Rabbi Yochanan and Amar Rabbi Yochanan said a Dimashah. So, you want to know what Shevet Mordechai was from? He was from Shevet Binyam. My card, Yehudi, why was it called Yehudi? Ashum Shakafa Bavayda Zara. Because he was Kaifer, he went against Avayda Zara. What's the Avayda Zara that he was Kaifer in? So, Pashab Shah is Haman made himself into Avodah Zarah. Everybody was bowing down to Haman. So he's someone that stood up. He was kofri, denied Avodah Zarah. He did it publicly. And kolah kofri b'Avodah Zarah nikri Yehudi k'dechsev. Like the pasuk says, Isai guvrin Yehudah. And that pasuk is referring to Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. And they were kofri b'Avodah Zarah. They refused to bow down to the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. And they're referred to as guvrin Yehudah. So you see that someone that's kofri b'Avodah Zarah is nikri Yehudi. Bottom line, Mordechai is referred to as the Ish Yehudi. He's referred to as an Ish Yemini. Ish Yehudi sounds like it comes from Shevet Yehuda. Ish Yemini sounds like it comes from Shevet Binyamin. Which Shevet was he from? He was from Shevet Binyamin. That's the short answer. So Mordechai Tzadik is a descendant of Shevet Binyamin. If he's from Shevet Binyamin, why do we refer to him as an Ish Yehudi? So the Gemara gave a bunch of shatim. Maybe it's because his mother came from Shevet Yehuda. The Gemara says, maybe it's because he was Koifer b'Avodah Zarah. V'chala Koifer b'Avodah Zarah, Nikri Yehudi. Alternatively, it's because there was someone from Shevet Yehuda that played a role in Mordechai's existence. Because David HaMelech, who was from Shevet Yehuda, could have killed Shimi ben Geri, had the right to. He chose not to kill Shimi ben Geri, which is what brought Mordechai into existence. So it comes out that an Ish Yehudi had something to do with Mordechai. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? So Amri Lai Leshvach. And believe it or not, Amri Lai Lagnai, there were others, the rabble-rousers, the Litzani Adar, they were walking around, they were literally blaming Mordechai for everything that happened. Zok de Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Kavah Pasach, Divrei Yomim, Amar Hachi. Rav Shimon ben Pazi, when he would give Shira and Divrei Yomim, he would begin the following. He would say, Kol dvarecha echad heim, v'anu yoidim l'darsham. He says, everything in the Torah is one, we know how to darshan the Torah. So what was he referring to? Meaning an example. He wanted to demonstrate this point. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, "V'ishtoi haYehudia yolda es yered avigdar v'eschever avisoichay v'esikusil avizonoyach ve'ilu bnei bisya v'aspare asher lokach marid." So it sounds like from this pasuk, Bisya Baspare, also known as Basya Baspare, was married to Marid and gave birth to a bunch of children: Yered, Gedar, Chever, Soichay, Yekusil, Zanoyach. But who's the mother of these children? It's Basya Baspare. Now, the beginning of the pasuk says, V'ishtoi ha-Yehudiyah. So here's the question. Amaykar le-Yehudiyah, if her name is really Basya, so why are we referring to as Yehudiyah? So the Gemara says, Al-Shum she-Kofer b'Avodah Zarah. It's because she was Kofer b'Avodah Zarah. And how do you know Basya Baspare was Kofer b'Avodah Zarah? So everybody knows this. The Chsiv Ateret Baspare Luchoitz al-Hayar. Poshed it. Sounds like Baspari went to bathe by the Ya'ar, by the Nile River. Rabbi Yochanan, and said, why was she really going? She Ya'ar de Lirchitz, Migilule Beis Aviyah. The reason she was going was, is she was going to bathe Migilule Beis Aviyah. She had been part of her father, Paris Avodah Zarah, and she was going to be Toivol from the Avodah Zarah. This wasn't just being Toivol. This was being Toivol Hashem Geirus. Now, was there Geirus before Matan Torah? The Turi Evin, the Shagasari, talks about it on this Gemara. But either way, Rabbi Yochanan said, Sheyarda Lirchaitz Migilule Beis Aviyah. I once heard from Rabbi from Yeshua, he said this in Chumashir, in the name of his father, L'kovet Tzviki. So he said that, had it Chazal know, Sheyarda Lirchaitz Migilule Beis Aviyah. Maybe she just went to bed. Pashup Shan in the Pasuk is, she went to bed. So Rabbi Beryl said that if you look in the Hemshech of the Pasuk, what happens? Vatered Bas Pari Lirchaitz Allah Hayar, and she sees Moshe, she sees a little child there, and the pasuk says Vatachmer Lala Yelid, that she had Rachmanas on the Yelid. So Rabbi Beryl said, the Chazal say, there's three midos that are midosai shel Klal Yisrael: Bashbaishanim, Rachmanim, and Goyim Leichasadim. If the pasuk says Vatachmer that she had Rachmanas, must be that she's a member of the Jewish nation. What do you mean she's not? She's Bas Paroi. Must be Vaterid Bas Paroi Lirchoitz Ala Yor. It's Sheyarda Lirchoitz Migivule Be. Because otherwise it wouldn't have been possible. Vatachmal. We have a longer version of this in the related raid bites. Says the Gemara. So going back to this pasuk, Yolda Varabu Yerevi you say. So again, the pasuk says that Bas Paroi gave birth to Yered, Gedar, Chever, Soichai, Yekusiel, and Zanoich. Now the Gemara is going to say in a minute that really this is all one person, and that one person is none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the kasha? Bas Paroi gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? Bas Paroi raised Moshe Rabbeinu. Had something to do with the fate of Moshe Rabbeinu. But she didn't actually give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, Loi Melucha, another classic. If somebody's Megadol Yosem Yisamim B'Teich Beis, somebody raises a child, not their own child, Mal Olav Akosav Kilu Yaldai, it's literally Kilu Yaldai. So how far does this Kilu Yaldai go? Literally Kilu Yaldai? A person that's Megadol Yosem V'Yisayim B'Teich Beisai is Mekayim the Mitzvah Pruvu. So Rav Shlomo Kluger, right in the beginning of Evan Ezra, clears the Shaila. If someone's Megadol Yosem V'Yisayim B'Teich Beisai, is it literally as if he gave birth to the child or not? Bez Hashem, some related read bites related to this as well. So again, who's the person that Basi Bas Pari raised, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is described with a whole bunch of different names. So the Gemara is going to explain it. Yered. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu called Yered? Zem Moshe. She Yardam Lisrael Man Biyamov. Because Moshe Rabbeinu caused Man to descend for the Yidden. Gedar. She Godar Pirzai Seim Shal Yisrael. It's because he was able to repair some of the breaches of Klal Yisrael at that time. Chever Shechibe Yisrael Avim Shabbat Shemaim. He brought the Yidden closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yichay Shenasanam Lusitzor Kesukah. A sukkah protects against the sun. Moshe Rabbeinu protected for the Yidden as well. Yikusiel Shekivu Yisrael Akel B'yamav. The Yidden had hope during the times of Moshe. Zanoyach Sheznia Chavay Nesem Shal Yisrael. Because he caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive the Yidden for the averus that they did. Avi, Avi, Avi. Mentions the word Avi three times. Av B'Toyra. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was an Av in Toyra. Av B'Chachma. And Av B'Nevius. He was great in Taira, great Bechachma, and of course, there's never been a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so who is Basia's husband? It's Mored. Marriage, it wasn't married. You know who it was? Kalev married Basia Baspare. That's the rest of the story. So the question is, if his name was really Kalev, so why does the Pas refer to him as Mered? Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavai Kalev, Shem Mered, Batsas Miraglim, V'yises Bas Panrei, Shem Merda, Begilule, Beisavir. That let Kalev, who was Mered, he was Mered, Batsas Miraglim, marry Bas Panrei, who was also Mered. Now, why are we talking about all this? It's because this Pasuk describes Basia Basparei as Ishtoi HaYehudia. And the kasha was, her name is Basia, so why are we referring to her as Yehudia? So the Gemara said, Rab Shim Ben Pazi said, Al Shum Shekofra Bavoy Dezara. She was Kofra Bavoy Dezara, because it says, Vaterit Basparei Lirchaitz Alayar. And what does it mean? Sheyarda Lirchaitz Migilulei Beisavia. So you see that she went to be Tavol Shum Geiris. She was Kofra, she denounced Avoy Dezara of her father. Any person that denounced Avoy Dezara is called Yehudi. What does it have to do with the Purim story? Because Mordechai is referred to as an Ish Yehudi. Really, he's from Sheva Ben Yamin. He's Ish Yemini. Why is he called Ish Yehudi? Rabbi Yochanan said, because he was Kofer B'Avodah Zarah. V'chalak Kofer B'Avodah Zarah, Nikra Yehudi. So, Mi'inyan Le'inyan, Ba'oisa Inyan. Just like Mordechai at Tzadik, who was Kofer in B'Avodah Zarah, that was Haman, is called the Yehudi. So too, Bas Pari, who was Kofer in B'Avodah Zarah of her father, is also called the Yehudi. Just one interesting thing. So the Pasuk that we just mentioned was a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. And we did a massive drasha, right? The Ishtai HaYehudia means Basia, because she was Kofer B'Avodah Zarah. That's why she's called Yehudia. Yalda, she gave birth. She really gave birth. She raised. It's Ke'ilu Yalda as Yered. Who's Yered? Moshe. Avi Gedar. Avi usually means father. No, Av B'Chachma. Gedar is also Moshe. Baspire marries Mered. Who's Mered? It's really Kalev. Right, you talk about a drasha. I mean, it sounds like we're saying something very innocent, just a bunch of names. And really, everything is a drasha. But the Gemara began. Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Kavi posach b'divrei ayomim amar hachi, kol dvarecho echad heim, v'anu yardon l'drasha. The Torah says something called drush. There's something called pshat, remes, soid, and drush. And I'm all dachman darshan and a posach al derech drush. But the truth is, there's more to this story. And that is a Medrash Rabbah. It's in Vayikra, it's Parsha Aleph Gimel. Rab Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, v'Rab Chama avud Rabbi Yishai b'shem Rab Mori Amri. One line. Lo nitein divrei hayomim elo lidarish. Divrei hayomim was given lidarish. Meaning, the reason we can make a drasha like this is because it's divrei hayomim. And lo nitein divrei hayomim elo lidarish. And by the way, the Medrash brings a makar to this, and you know what the makar is? V'ishtoi ha-yehudiyo yolda es yered avigudar v'goymer. But that one line, lo nitein divrei hayomim elo lidarish, you're right, if this was a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, we probably wouldn't darshan it this way. But because it's divrei hayomim, and divrei hayomim was given lidarish, that's why we're darshaning it in this way. Either way, moving along. Asher hagla mi Yerushalayim. Im ha-goyla asher hagla sa'im yechonya melech Yehuda asher Hegla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. So the pasuk is describing Mordechai. Mordechai went to Galus. He went to Galus together with the Yidden during quote unquote Galus Bavel. But we just learned the Gemara. We know Galus Bavel was really comprised of three phases. Phase one was Galus Yahyachin. Phase two was Galus Yahyachin, also known as Galus Yechanya. And phase three was Galus Sidkiyo. So the pasuk says he went to Galus when? Together with Yechanya Melech Yehuda. But the Gemara makes a deal. Amar Rava, Rava says, Shagol Me'atzma. You see that he chose to go to Galus. Meaning, if he wanted, he could have avoided it. But at the same time, B'toychamiyo Noichi Yosheves, and this was something that he did on his own volition. Asher Hugla sounds like he caused it, as opposed to Asher Hugla, says Tosfos. Very short Tosfos in on this Amud. V'tarei shleim midalei chsev hugla. It says hugla, not hugla. Hugla would seem to suggest that he was forced into it. This is something that he did on his own. Does this have something to do with the Chassam Sofer and the Sefer HaZikaron that we always talk about with the Chachmei Frankfurt and the Chachmei Prague and the Afla and the Neid of Yehuda, where a leader that has the opportunity to avoid galus and certainly avoid persecution, could he, should he, during the Holocaust, Rabbi Chanan Hashem Yim Kamdama, etc., etc. Maybe this has a little bit of a connection. Vayihi Oimein Es Hadasa. The pasuk says that Mordechai raised Hadasa. Now, who's Hadasa? Everybody knows. It's Esther. Fakting him or Carly Hadasa, or Carly Esther. So was her name Hadasa, or was her name Esther? Rameir says Esther. Really, her name was Esther. It's because the tzaddikim are called Hadasa. The pasuk says, Vahu Oimein Beina Hadasa. So this is a pasuk in Zechariah. And Zechariah sees a Nevuah, and he sees the Shechina standing between the Hadassim. And the Hadassim in the Nevuah of Zechariah were Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah come up a lot in these Gemaras, and this is a digression. But it comes up a lot because Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah lived circa this time. But either way, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah are the Hadassim. You see, tzaddikim are called Hadassim. Reb Yehuda Amir Hadassah Shmon. Really, Esther's name was Hadassim. Lamed Kishma Esther. Why was she called Esther? Al Shem Shahayzim Asteres Dvara. It's because of the fact that she wouldn't reveal what her yichus was. She never in Esther Magedes. Because she was as beautiful as the moon, and Esther is Miloshin Estar, it's Miloshin the moon. Ben Azir had a different shot. Esther lay a rukav like Sarah Hoysa. She wasn't tall, she wasn't sorry, elobaininess, she was of average height, kadasa like kadasa. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said, Esther Yirak Reikas Hoysa. Esther was a Yirak Reikas, meaning we just said that Esther was very beautiful, like the moon. Said Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, no, I disagree. Really, she was naturally had a greenish complexion. However, she had a special chain, a special chuchal chesed, that when people saw her, they perceived her as being beautiful. But naturally, that's really not the way she was. The Vilna Gaon in Koil Eliyahu, so he said, why would Rabbi Shimon ben Karach have said this? Meaning, Esther Yirak Reikis Hoysa, but the chuchal chesed Moshech Aleh, So the Gaon said a Dover Nifla. He said there's a Gemara in the first parak of Masechtas Bava Basra. That's the Agadat Gemara in the back end of the first parak of Bava Basra. Daftes Bava Min Aleph that discusses Iyov, specifically the historical context, the rest of the story of Iyov. And there's a whole machloikis in the Gemara exactly when Iyov lived. The times of Moshe, maybe he never lived at all. One of the Manda Omrim that are mentioned in that Gemara is Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, Iyoiv bimei Achashverosh haya. He lived in the times of Achashverosh. So the Vilna Gaon said that in Sefer Iyoiv, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Tezvav, it says, V'lei nimtzo nashim yafois kibnois Iyoiv b'chol ha'aretz. That there were no nashim yafois in the entire land like the daughters of Iyoiv. Faked. The Gaon, how could you say that? L'chura, what about Esther? Esther is not one of the daughters of Iyov. And not just that, you see from the whole Purim story, there's no mention of Achashverosh looking for the daughters of Iyov. Who did he choose? Mikol Basula, he ended up choosing Esther. So the Gaon said that if the pasuk says, and Iyov lived when? In the times of Achashverosh. So how come there's no mention of Bnei Siv? Why was Esther the one that emerged from all the women? The Teretz is, Zok Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Lishi Tasi, Muzmin Zog, and that really Esther Yerak Reikis Oysa. Really, she wasn't so beautiful. So he said, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Lishi Tasi, who knew or learned that Iyov lived in Achashverosh. So he had a problem with taking the beauty of Esther al derech hapshat because while nimtzah nashim yafes kibnaisiya b'chal aretz muchrich said the Vilna Gaon was Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha to learn that really Esther yirak reikis haisa and this whole chain of Esther was literally a chut shal chesed that was mashach aleh. So the pasuk says that Mordechai raised that's pashim shad Esther. Ki ein la avaim, because she had no father, she had no mother. And then the pasuk says, "Uva mois avia v'ima." When her father and mother died, lakachay Mordechai levas. Says the Gemara, "Uva mois avia v'ima lamali." Doesn't that seem to be a little wordy, a little redundant? Ki ein la avaim. So why do we have to mention uva mois avia v'ima? Amr Rav Achla said, "Ibrisa mois avia, yoldasna mois ima." No, what the pasuk is coming to say is that not only did Esther not have a father or a mother, but she never had, not even for one second, did she have a father or did she have a mother? Rashi, Shafi. Not even one day did she have a father or mother. How is that possible? Because Ibris on Mesavia, As soon as she was conceived, her father died. Rashi. Nimtza shalei of mishoshen nirali karisa. That means, as soon as she could have had a father, which was as soon as she was conceived, at that point her father had already died. And then yolda sa'ima mesa. And as soon as she was born, at that point her mother died. So there was never a moment that she had a father, because as soon as she was conceived, the father wasn't alive already. And she also never had a mother, because her mother died during childbirth. This Rashi that we just read very, very quickly is a Rashi that's mentioned in halachic circles and in the circles, and that is, it would seem from Rashi that Ibrisa Mesavia, that as soon as she was conceived, her father died. Why? So that it would be Neskayim that she never had a father. As if to say, let's say her father, Rahman al Islam, would have died when her mother was 9 months pregnant. So she would have had a father during the pregnancy. The question is, when does the Shem Av and Ben happen from a halachic perspective? When is a father called a father? When the child was born? Or maybe if this man's wife right now is carrying the child, it could be at that point, and definitely during a more advanced trimester, could be already be considered a father. So this Rashi is quoted because Rashi says there was never a moment that Esther had a father. Why? Because Ibrisa, as soon as her mother conceived her, at that point, Mesavir. As if to say, if he wouldn't have died at that moment, he would have died 6 months later, during an advanced part of this pregnancy. At that point, maybe it would not have been true that she never had a father, because she would have had a father, albeit when she was in her mother's womb. So it's an interesting makar to this Shiloh, but a related raidbite, Zokti Gemara. V'chenu oimer, the ovemoy saviyah v'imalach ha-mordechai loy labas, tano mishum rameyir atik bi labas el labai. So Pasha, you learn that Mordechai took Esther as a daughter. But Chazal Darshan, not a daughter, altikri labas el labayis. That's a major edit. Not a daughter, but a bias, rather to a wife. So Mordechai was married to Esther. Now, bas usually means daughter. Is there a precedent anywhere that the word bas can mean bias, can mean wife? And it's very different. So Mar says, yeah, there is a makar. Ulurosh in koil. The poor person has nothing. Kim kivsa achas ketan ashoko. Oh, yes, it's a small shepsala. Vayichayel. Vatigdal imoy. The imbon of yachtov. And this shepsala, being that this is all this poor person had, meant so much to him. And this is all a mashal. This is Nasan Anavi giving Teichacha to David HaMelech after the story of Bathsheba and Uriah Achiti ve'in kam koima. But in this pasuk, the pasuk describes ubechekoi tishkav, that she would sleep bechekoi in this person's chek. Vatehiloi labas. So the Gemara says mishum de bechekoi tishkav havelo kibas. Doesn't make sense. Bechekoi tishkav is not the hanhog of a bas. Ella must be kibayis. You see that the word bas really means bias. Bechekoi tishkav. That's derech ishos. Hachanami soto over here, when it says the Mordechai took Esther as a bas, it doesn't mean bas. Rather, what it means is it means a bias. And now we're moving along. So Achashverosh is vayafkid amelech bekidim, and he asks, he wants all the women to come, and they all come, and one of them is Esther. And it seems from the psukim as if Esther got a little preferential treatment, right? And as a result, she's going to get some preferential treatment. We're going to go through this quickly, but the Gemara is going to dash in some of the pasuk. It says, sheva hana'ores. So she had these seven maids that were taking care of her. This is during the time that they're waiting. This is before she's actually chosen as the queen. Oh my, Rava said, Shaisa might have been Shabbos. She used these seven Na'aris to know when Shabbos was. So she knew that one of them was for Sunday, one Monday, one Tuesday, like this. She knew when the Shabbos housekeeper came, you know, that meant that it was Shabbos. Vayishanel ve'esnaroisel. Omer Rav Shechila Michael Yehudi. She was treated a little bit differently. How so? She was given different food. She was given kosher food. Shmuel HaMashmuel says, Shechila Kali L'chaziri. No, they fed her chazer. Last Tosfos, the Chas V'Shalom, he lo yehoisai chelos. But Tosfos says Chas V'Shalom, she didn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zeroinim, they gave her seeds. V'chinu Oimer, v'yehi hamelza noisa es pas bagam, and noisa mazarim. It's referring to Chananya V'Shalom V'Azayu, they were also given seeds. Shish Chad Hashem V'Shemen Amar. So during this waiting period, so these girls, they would spend 6 months in Shemen Amar. My Shemen Amar, Rabbi Chiba Rabba Amar Stak. It's a certain type of oil. Rabbi Huna Amar Shemen Zayis, Shlehevi Shlis, Shemen Zayis, that didn't yet develop 1/3 of its natural growth. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda said, An piknun is shemen zayish lo hevi shlish. That's what an piknun is. Well, I'm a say, why was the Yusha Meshav Saser? It caused the hair to be removed, the madanas abasar, and it caused the skin to glow. The erev hiva, uva boiker hishav, am Rabbi Yehuda, miknusish lo yisei rasha, lamadu shvachai. That, of course, this whole parasha talks about the proskite of Achashverosh. But there's a silver lining. You'd see a little bit of the shvach, and that is, lamadu shvachai shlo yoyim mishamish mitasei bayoy. That he wasn't mishamish mitasei bayoy. the Sfarim say, I think the Chassam Sofer says it somewhere, that you see that Achashverosh in the beginning of the story is a prutza, is a parut sheba parut. And then all of a sudden, we throw in like one line, Mignusa shaloysa rasha lamadnu shvachai. And the reason is because as soon as Esther somehow entered the orbit of Achashverosh, and Esther goes down as the great Tzonua, Ein Esther Magedas, she's this incredible, incredible Tzonua, as we're about to see. So that some Ashpa, even on Achashverosh, that all of a sudden, and it's a davishal tsnius. Vati Esther noisischen. She was noisischen. Right. Everybody wanted to have something to do with it. No one knew where Esther was from. But all the people of the United Nations, everybody said, no, Esther has. She's from me, and she's from me. Everyone was bringing raiz that Esther really comes from the same heritage as them. Everybody wanted to associate with Esther. So when it was Esther's turn to be in front of Achashverosh, what month was it? It was Chodesh Tevis. Say Chazal, that this was all done by Kavana. Yerech Shenene Guf Min HaGuf, because that's a very cold month, and it's a time that the Guf has Hanah from the Guf, and this was a way of making it that Esther would be the chosen one. But yeah, Amelech has Esther Mikol HaNoshen. Vatisa Chen V'chesed L'fanav Mikol HaBesulis. Amara, Bikishlit and Tam Besula Tan, Tam Be'ula Tan. That whatever Tam Achashverosh wanted, he was able to be time by Esther. Vayas HaMelech Mishtegolo. So the Melech means this big party. Why do you make the big party? So Chazal say, it's because Achashverosh was trying to figure out who Esther stammed from. He wanted to know Esther's Zichas, but she wouldn't say. So Ava Mishtaya, see, he made a party of Legayale, wouldn't say. Talia Karga, then she started repealing taxes. Legayale, she still wouldn't talk. Shoda Pardishne, Legayale, he started sending gifts to different kings and all in the name of Esther. Still, she wouldn't say anything. We covered its Besula Shenis. And then the Pasuk says that there was a second time that all these Besulas were gathered. So what was this all about? So the Gemara says, Azal Shakal Eitzami Mardchai. Achashverosh went to Mardchai. Amar, and Mardchai said, you want an Eitzami? I mean, he's trying to figure out who Esther is. So Mardchai said, En Isha Miskana, Elo B'yer Chaverto. He said, what you should do is you should make Esther jealous. Go round up all the women again. And like this, maybe she'll be jealous of what's happening and then she'll start talking. Afilu Hachi says the Gemara Legalile, she didn't say anything. The Chsiv Ein Esther Magedes Moiladeta. Amr Abelaz, Rabelaz, and Samay the Chsiv. What's Pshan in the Pasik that says, Lo Yigra Mitzadik Einof? Darshins the Gemara. Mischar Tzniyosh, Aisababi Rachel, Zachsev Yasumenu Shol. Because of the Tzniyosh that Rachel Imenu had, she merited to have a descendant Shol. Ubeschar Tzniyosh, Shahayabai Bishol. Because of the Tzniyosh that Shol had, Zachsev Yasumenu Esther, he was Eichet to have a descendant Esther. So Rachel was Tzonua, Shol had the mid of Tznius, and Esther was a Tznur. And they're all from the same lineage. It's not a coincidence. So Rachel had Tznius, therefore she merited Shaul. Shaul had Tznius, therefore Shaul merited Esther. So the Gemara says, what's this all about? Umay Tznius, hoysa baba Rachel. What was Rachel's Tznius? And this is something that everybody knows. So Yaakov tells Rachel, I'm your father's brother. Fake the Gemara, v'achi aviyahu. What Yaakov was Rachel's father is Lavan. Yaakov's not Lavan's brother. Ben Yaakov's mother is Rivka, who's Lavan's sister. I mean, they're related, but it's not true. Yaakov and Lavan are not brothers. So the Gemara says, Elo, Amalam Insavali. Yaakov approached Rachel and said, marry me. Amro Le. She said, in, yes, absolutely, I'd love to marry you. Miu Abiramohu. My father's a Rami. It's not possible. Amalo, he said, Achav Anabiramos. I'm your father's brother. Trust me, I can handle him. I am a brother to him in the sense he's a rabbi. I know how to use Ramay. He says, well, Amr Leim, Yishalu, it's Igles Gubir, Ram Yusuf. He said, a tzaddik is allowed to be a rabbi. Amr Leim, yes, it's a pasuk. Im Novar Titabar, the Mikesh Titapal. If you're dealing with a Novar, a good person, Titabar, you should act the same way. But if you're dealing with an Ikesh, a Krum, a person, Titapal, then you're allowed to act Krum as well. He said, listen, ordinarily it's not the way I am. Yaakov is an Ishtam, but at the same time, if this is who your father is, I'll deal with it. Amr Leim, my Ram Yusuf. So Yaakov said, okay, so tell me a little bit more about your father. I mean, what are you worried about? Amr Leim, she said like this. Isli Achsa, I have a sister that's older than me. And there's no way my father's going to let me get married before my older sister. So Yaakov said, okay, here's the trick. He gave her simanim, and he said, listen, this will be the simon that it's you, and it's not your older sister, Leah. When the night came, Rachel was thinking, she says, oyvei. When Lavan actually did what she thought he was going to do, and that is, Leah is going to be the bride at this wedding, she realized how embarrassed Leah was going to be. So Rachel took the simanim, gave it to Leah. It was morning. It sounds like I told him that it wasn't Leah. Ella, no. Really, at the chasana, it was
Rachel. And Yaakov had no way of knowing until the morning, because all these simanim, this sign, was something that Leah was privy to. Lefichach. It was because of this incredible madrega of Rachel, Zachs of Yatsim Imenu Shal, Matznias Hoysev Shal. What was the Tznias of Shal? The Chsives Dvara Malucha Lehigilei Asha Amashmo. After Shal became king, he kept it to himself. He didn't tell. He had an opportunity to share it with some people, and he didn't do it. Zach of Yatsim and Esther, and she was Zaycha to Esther. Would you see Esther was a Tznua? Like we just said, Ein Esther Maged. It's from Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, "Kisha Kadosh Baruch Hu Paisek Gedula L'Adam." When Hakadosh Baruch Hu decrees and determines that someone should have Gedula, Paisek Levanav Ulevnei Vanav Atzoyf Kaladars. Not only does he get Gedula, but this is something that stays in his family. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayoshivem Lo Netzach Vayigbo." Vayoshivem Lo Netzach. This is something that's Lo Netzach. Then Hegus Daitoy. What happens if the person, after he gets his greatness, he becomes a Balgaiva, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashpiloi, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vimasurim, Bazikim, the end of the Pasuk is, Yulachtum, Bechavli, Oini, he's going to end up with Oini. Vesmaimar, Esther, Vesmaimar, Mordechai, Esther, Oysa. So Esther was doing the Maimar Mordechai. What does this mean? Amrab Yumi, Shayimar, Dam Nida, Lacham. Esther would show Dam Nida to the Chachamim. Kasha Hoysa, Ba'om No Itai, Omma Rabba, Barlimo, Shoysoi Medes, Michekushal Achashverosh, the Toiveles, Vioisheves, Bechekushal Mordechai. So we just said earlier that when it says that Mordechai took Esther, Labas, it doesn't mean Labas, it means Labas. That means really Esther was married to Mordechai. But at the same time, she's living with Achashverosh. So Rabbi Barlimo said that we learn from here that she was living with Mordechai and with Achashverosh at the same time. Freak Toisves, how could you do that? What happened to Avchano? Vieshleimesha Hoysa, Mishameshes, Bemoich. We have a very long related Radbite on this topic as well. We spoke about this not so long ago in the beginning of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, and also specifically the Amora Rabbi Barlimo. Who's Rabbi Barlimo? He's mentioned in two places in Shas, in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, and in Rosh Hashanah Daf Dalet Amid Aleph, and that's part of parcel of that Ha'or. By Yom Mohen, Mordechai Yoyshe B'Shar HaMelech Kotzaf Bixon Voserish. Om Rab Chiba Rab, Om Rab Yoinis. Rab Yoichu. Hikts Fakadosh Baruch Hu, Odin Allah Vodim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made a master get angry at his slaves. Lasis Ritzoyin Tzadik, for a Tzadik. Umanu Yosef, who was that Tzadik Yosef? Shenema Vashami Tonu, Nar Ivri. Pari got upset at the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Oifim. And that was all to play out for the destiny of Yosef. That's how Yosef eventually becomes the Mishnah Lamelech, and the rest is history. Vavodim Aldine. Vashem also made an Evid, where Avodim get upset at their master, Nasis Nesel Tzadik, to perform a miracle for a Tzadik. Umani, who is that Tzadik Mordechai? What happened? Bixam Aserish, as the Gemara is about to say, got angry at Achashverosh, and eventually a tremendous Yeshua came to Mordechai. Amar Rabbi Yoichan, Rabbi Yoichan, and said, Bixam Aserish, Nei Tarsiyim Hoya. They were from this place, they were Tarsiyim, a country. They spoke the local language of Tursi, and they were having a conversation amongst themselves. And they said, quote, you know, since Achashverosh, or since Esther, Bas is a Lashon Nekeva. Since Esther came into the palace, we haven't gotten any sleep. No, Bible, not the Eres, but Seva, Gadesh, Yomas. That's Kilach HaShverish. Now, Behim, Lan, Yoy, Yoy, Dinkim, Mordechai, Yeshu, Lishu, Agaz, Zahaya. And Mordechai is overhearing the conversation, but who speaks Lashon Tursi? Well, it turns out Mordechai does. Because Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, Vayodei, B'Shiv, and Lashon. And he knew the 70 languages. Now, Pashim Shad is, the way we've always been taught, is that all the members of the Sanhedrin had to speak all of the 70 languages. So that's a conversation for another day, when the Rambam talks about the credentials of being a member of the Sanhedrin, but not for now. But one thing is for sure, and that is Achashverosh, Mordechai is referred to in other places in Tanakh as Mordechai Bilshon. And the reason he's called Mordechai Bilshon is because he spoke the 70 languages. So for sure, Mordechai spoke the 70 languages. Amaloi. So he said, now again, returning to the conversation between Bixon and Seresh, he said, V'haloi, ein mishmartu mishmartecha shaveh. Our posts are not the same. How are we going to execute this plan? Amaloi, ani eshmar mishmartu mishmartecha. I will cover for you. They were trying to find Bixon and Seresh, and what they found was, is that they weren't really on their post. Just a drop more, one more gemara. Acharat dvarim. Actually, no, we'll stop here. So just to end with one short raid bite, and that is, so we're getting into now the story of Purim. The daf began with Mordechai. Ish Yehudi hoye b'shushan abira, ushmai Mordechai ben Yair, ben Shimi, ben Kish, Ishimini. And the daf ended with Bixon Veseresh. But we all know the story, so we know where this is heading. Achar advarim bo'ela, Gidal HaMelech as Haman ben Hamdasa. And now Haman is going to become a knacker, and Haman is going to bribe the king. And because of
some of the finagling that Haman is about to do, Haman is going to be given a tremendous amount of respect within the Medina that's Mehoidu Vad Kush. So much so, he's going to be treated literally like a deity, to the extent that it's going to be decreed that anyone that passes Haman is supposed to bow down to Haman. V'chol avdei ha-melech ha-sheh b'shar ha-melech k'irim u'mishtachav in lo-Haman ki-chein tziv alay ha-melech. Because this is something, a right that he got as a result of the king. But there's going to be one person that's not going to bow down to Haman. And that's Mardechai. The Pasuk says, u'Mardechai lo yichra. Mordechai is going to refuse to bow down. Haman's going to be very upset, and he's going to let out his anger, not just on Mordechai, but really on Mordechai and the entire Jewish. Again, these are the Gemaras that are coming now, but it's all me'inyan le'inyan ba'oseinyan, and that's the gzeira, and eventually, even ha'pachul ha'yehudim, everything is going to play out. So again, v'chal avdei ha'melech ha'sheh b'shar ha'melech k'irim u'mishtachavim lo'haman ki'chein tziv aloi ha'melech. However, there's one person, u'mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachav. Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. So here's the question. Was Mordechai right for refusing to bow down to Haman? Or was he not right? So Pasha, you're going to say, well, of course he was right. How can you bow down to Haman? How can you bow down to somebody? You're allowed to bow down to somebody? You bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a mitzvah, k'irim u'mishtachavim. How can you let a bow down to someone that's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The truth is, that's a mistake. Because you find in Tanakh, people used to bow down to other people. The Avraham Avinu bows down to the Bnei Ches. In Parshas Chayisara, Yaakov bows down to Esau. So you see clearly in Tanakh, Pesukim that every child is familiar with, that people are bowing down to other people. And the reason is because Ishtachava was actually a form of kavod. Today, Shalom Aleichem, Afshakish, but Amol, there was an Indian of Ishtachava. It's pretty dramatic, and maybe in some cultures it still happens. But to bow down to somebody, that was actually a hanhog of kavod. So in and of itself, to be kairim mushtachav in lahamon doesn't necessarily mean that you're violating anything terrible. It certainly doesn't mean that it's avodah zarah. Certainly doesn't mean that it's yaharig uval yaver. Certainly doesn't mean that you have to risk the security of the entire Jewish nation. So here's the question. The chala, asher b'shar ha-melech, kairim mushtachav in lahamon. From a pure halachic perspective, who was right? Was it right? Was it okay to bow down to Haman or not? So if you look at Rashi and Megillus Esther, this is in Perigimel Pasuk Beis. V'chol avdei ha-melech ha-sheh b'shar ha-melech k'irim mishtachvim l'Haman. Zog to Hilgir Rashi, she'osa atzmai aloha. Because Haman turned himself into an Avodah Zarah. So the reason people were bowing down to him was they were literally worshipping Avodah Zarah. Lefichach says Rashi, u'mardchai lo yichra v'lo yishtachav. It's precisely for that reason that Mardchai refused to bow down. It's because Mardchai obviously wasn't going to be Yovid Avodah Zarah. And even if it meant that he was going to get killed, it doesn't matter. It's Yehorog v'ayavar. And as a result, there was no way he can do it. If you look at Eben Ezra says it a little bit differently. V'chol avdei ha-melech ha-sheh b'shar ha-melech k'irim u'mishtachavim l'ham. Says Eben Ezra, "V'nochein mashedarshu Rabbi Seinu Zechreinu Levracha ki tzuras tzelem v'avoda zara hayu begadav oyal mitznafta." That he had the tzur of a tzelem on his begadim or on his mitznefes, and it's for that reason people were bowing down to him. But again, Eben Ezra is saying what Rashi is saying is that the idea of being kairim u'mishtachav in lahaman was related to avoda zara, and it's for that reason u'mardechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachav. We learned the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara says, Shalu Talmidah Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Talmidah asked Rav Shimon bar Yochai, what did the Jews of the generation of Purim deserve to be annihilated? There was a gzeira, the Hashmadu, the Harim. What did they do so bad to deserve this gzeira? So Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, no, you want to make a suggestion? They said, oh, because they had anav mesudas in Shalais Rosh. Yes, we spoke out to Chassam Sofer that having anav mesudas in Shalais Rosh, it wasn't just sinning in a moish of leitzim. It wasn't just the fact that there was divrei tiflus going on, but it was related to the fact that that was a suda, that was a celebration of the idea that the 70 years had come and gone, Daniel and Yirmiyahu's nevuah weren't really going to play out. But Rav Shimon bar Yochai said it can't be, because if that's the case, it should have only affected the people in Shushan Abira. Why did it affect everybody? So they said, okay, Rabbi, so why don't you tell us? So Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, Mnei she'ushtachvu l'tzelem. It's because they bow down to the tzelem. Now Rashi says, what does it mean they bow down to the tzelem? Two words, bimei Nebuchadnezzar. It's referring to the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Freit Mar Shah, he says, I don't understand. Why did Rav Shimon bar Yochai have to say that they bow down to the tzelem? And Rashi says, what was the tzelem? It was the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Say better, they bow down to Haman.
They bow down to the tzelem that Haman was wearing. Or Haman himself is an Avodah Zarah. So why are we talking about Nebuchadnezzar, which had happened decades earlier? Let's talk tachlis. This is current events. They bowed down to Haman. And you see, Mordechai didn't bow down. And Zokta Marsha, take a look at Rashi and Megillas Esther, where Rashi says in Megillas Esther, Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtachave. Why? Because she'os atzmei aliha, ulefichach, Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtachave. So you see, it was an Avodah Zarah. So you see, everybody was over Avodah Zarah. So the Marsha discusses this question, and in the final analysis, says the Marsha, the Teretz is pashut. The Teretz is, because if the reason of the Gzeira was, because the Yidden bowed down to Haman, who bowed down to Haman? V'chol avdei ha-melech, it was only the people that were in Shushan. So again, it would have only affected the people in Shushan. Meaning the Talmidim told Rav Shimon bar Yochai, maybe the reason the Gzeira happened was Mipnei Shenenu Mesudas Tisholei Sarasha. What was Rav Shimon bar Yochai's taina? Imkein, it should have only affected the people in Shushan. So what's Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochai going to say? Oh, it's because they bowed down to the Tzelem. Which Tzelem? The Tzelem of Haman? Right there, it's the same kasha that Rav Shimon bar Yochai had in the Talmidim will now apply to him. It should have only affected the people in Shushan, so says the Marsha. That's how Rashi knew was b'mei Nebuchadnezzar, and that's what Rav Shimon bar Yochai is not talking about what happened in Shushan. But here's the point. The point is Rashi and Esther and the Evan Ezra and Esther, and it's Mefurish in the Marsha, and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says, V'chalav di ha-melech ha-sheh b'sharam melech k'er m'shtachem al-haman, that was Avodah Zarah. U'mardcha la-yichra v'la-yishtachem, but why not? Because of the fact that it was Avodah Zarah. But the truth is, this is not so pasha. It's not pasha at all. That the Avdei ha-melech ha-sheh b'sharam melech that were k'er m'shtachem were really being oved Avodah Zarah. And that Mordechai had a halachic obligation to be loyichra v'leyishtachave, because otherwise he would have been oivet avodah zarah. In fact, it's a mefurish gemara. It's a gemara. It's a chiddush that Rishonim don't quote us. But it's a mefurish gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, in Perek Arba Misois, Daf Samach Aleph on the base, and the gemaras that talk about the Isra avodah zarah. Says the gemara, Itmar, ha'oivet avodah z'koychave me'ahava u'me'yira. If someone's oivet avodah zarah me'ahava me'yira, somebody worships avodah zarah, but not because he believes in the avodah zarah, not because of some deep theological reason. Poshim me'ahava u'me'yira. Rashi, me'ahavas adam, u'me'yiras adam. He loves somebody, and therefore he's worshiping that person's avodah zarah, or he's afraid of somebody, and therefore he's worshiping that person's avodah zarah. Aber, v'lo'ychashva b'liba be'alohos. Really, in his mind, he's not thinking avodah zarah. If someone acts as if he's being Oved Avodah Zarah, but internally, in his mind, nothing's really happening. Is he Oved Avodah Zarah or not? Machlik is Abayi v'Rava. Abayi Omer Chayiv, Rava Omer Potter. Abayi Omer Chayiv, it's real Avodah Zarah. Da'apolch, you're Oved Avodah Zarah. Rava Omer Potter, Ikabli Alea Beliha Inni Loi Loi. If you're physically Mekabli for Avodah Zarah, it's considered Avodah Zarah. But if you're not physically Mekabli for Avodah Zarah, in that instance, it's not going to be considered Avodah Zarah. So Abaye says, if someone's over may have a meira, he's an over the Avodah Zarah. Rava says, if you're over may have a year, you're not over the Avodah Zarah. Listen to Rashi's lashon. Rava says, Potter, bein b'meiz bein b'shoigig laf kum avav. He did nothing. If someone's over the Avodah Zarah, according to Rava, may have a meira, it's garnish. So the Gemara brings a whole series of questions that Abaye asks Rava. We need one short question. Omer Abaye, Abaye said, you know what, mina lo? How do I know that I'm right? How do I know that if someone's Oved Avodah Zarah, even though he never had in mind, in his mind, Avodah Zarah, he didn't even have a mitzvah Avodah Zarah from a braisa. The Tanya, loisa shtachave lohem loisa avde. Says the braisa, lohem iat tom shtachave, aval tom shtachave lo adam kemoisa. You're allowed to bow down to a person. Like we said, there's nothing wrong with bowing down to a person. Now, yoch, alafilu nevet kahaman. You would think you're even allowed to bow down to someone that's an Avodah Zarah. Like, come on, Talmud loymar v'loysa avdeh. If a person makes himself into an Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to bow down to him. It's going to be a, so say it abay, v'homa miyira hava nevet. Haman, the Yidden worship miyira. Right, they weren't really interested in doing it. Why did they do it? They did a miyira. Rashi says, it's, the pasuk says clearly, "Ki chein tziv alei hamelech." The only reason they're doing it is because the king commanded that they do it. And afal pikein, it's a braisa that says that if someone's a nevad like Haman, there'd be an isra avodah zarah. That was a bias kasha to Rava. How could you, Rava, say that if someone's oved avodah zarah may have a meir, it's not avodah zarah? You see that Haman was avodah zarah. It's a braisa. Yochel nevad kahaman talmud loymar. No, Haman is in the pasuk. It's in the aseres hadibris Haman. That if someone would worship Haman, he'd be avodah zarah. So tabaya Haman. No one thought much of Haman, but at the same time, kichin tivalei amelach. So the whole Haman is me'ahava me'ira. The Rava says the Gemara. What's Rava going to answer? Kahaman v'loy kahaman. Kahaman di'iu gufei avodas keichavim. V'loy kahaman ilu haman me'ira v'chalav me'ira. What the Gemara means when it says nevet kahaman, not that Haman itself was a problem, because everyone knows that people were worshiping Haman Meira. We just want to give a good example of someone that considered himself an Avodah Zarah. So the Braisa just wants to say something that everybody knows. Everyone knows of Haman, right? Who hasn't heard of Haman? So everyone knows who Haman was. Everyone knows that Haman was Avodah Zarah. Everybody was bowing down to him. So we're using Haman as an example. But you want to know if the Yidden that were Oved Haman, quote unquote, were Oved Avodah Zarah, they weren't. Why? Because they didn't have a Meira. But here's the punchline. Machloikis, Abaya, and Rava. Whether the Yidden that were bowing down to Haman, were they being Oved Avodah Zarah, or were they not being Oved Avodah Zarah? According to Abaya, yeah, because the Oved Me'ahava Me'ira is an Oved Avodah Zarah. He's Chayiv Mises Bezdin, Skilo, it's Yehorig Val Yaver. Rava holds, Oved Me'ahava Me'ira is really not an Oved Avodah Zarah. According to Abaya, even though it was Me'ira, because the Pasuk then says, Kichein Tzivalei HaMelech, they were being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. According to Rava, when they were bowing down, they weren't being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, stellt sich a grosse Frage. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachav. Bishleim, according to Abaya, Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachav, because Avodah Zarah. You can't be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But according to Rava, it's anyways not Avodah Zarah. It's Me'ahava Me'ira. What was Rashi's Lashon when he described Hum, what he describes the Ovid Me'ahava Me'ira? The Lav Kluma, but it's nothing. So if it's nothing, what's Pashab Shad? How could you understand Umardchai lo yichra v'lo yishtachava? How did he have a right to be lo yichra v'lo yishtachava? That's the obvious question. We have a related raid bite on this. There's no time to talk about this. But just one ha'ara as it relates to today's daf that maybe is emes. And that is, at the very, very, very beginning of the daf, the Gemara asks the question, Ish Yehudi ha'yi b'shushan abira? Ushmai Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ish Yemini. And the Gemara asked the kasha, was he an Ish Yehudi or was he an Ish Yemini? Ish Yehudi sounds like he was from Shevet Yehuda. Ish Yemini sounds like he was from Shevet Binyam. So the Gemara said, really, he was an Ish Yemini. You want to know what Shevet he came from? He came from Shevet Binyamin, he came from Shaul, he came from Rachel, he came from Shevet Yemini. But at the same time, why is he referred to as an Ish Yehudi? The reason he's referred to as an Ish Yehudi, said the Gemara, a whole bunch of different reasons. Maybe his mother was from Shevet Yehuda. One of the reasons the Gemara said was Rava Amar. Rava said, because Knesses Yisrael, they were Amrul the Idach Kisa. They would sit around in the street and they would tumble and they would say, Ra'u ma'asali Yehudi u'mashilim li Yemini. They would say, look at what Shevet Yehuda caused us, and look at what Shevet Binyamin caused us. Look at what Shevet Yehuda caused us. David HaMelech came from Shevet Yehuda. He could have killed Shimon Ben-Gera. Had he killed Shimon Ben-Gera, there would never have been a Mordechai. And they said at the same time, look what Shevet Binyamin did to us. Shaul came from Shevet Binyamin. Had he killed Agag, there would have never been a Haman. Rava said, the reason he's referred to as an Ish Yehudi is because the Oilam had tainas on Shevet Yehuda. Specifically, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kam. That's what they had tainas on. For the fact that David didn't kill Shimi Ben-Gair. It's a fascinating Shitas Rava. Rava says that the Oilam was fatainet on David HaMelech for not killing Shimi Ben-Gair who caused Mordechai. In other words, they were very fatainet on Mordechai. Mordechai, I don't understand. What are you doing? You're provoking Haman. Who gave you a right to provoke Haman? And the truth is, when you read this Gemara, it's a pella. What do you mean? Mordechai is provoking. Haman? Mordechai is shuldig? Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtachav. He didn't want to be Oved Avodah Zarah. So why would Rava say this? Why would Rava attribute something which at first glance seems completely irrational? I guess a pasha you learn, these are pashid, mamish, the litzani, adar, these are the gruen sheba of the umma, and these are the people that are coming with this time. They're pointing fingers, not only on Mordechai, but even on David HaMelech. Oh, but the teretz, I think, is it's Rava l'shitasoi. Rava who holds that Oved Me'ahava Me'ira is not an Oved Avodah Zarah. So if Oved Me'ahava Me'ira is not an Oved Avodah Zarah, so really, Lav Klum Avad. Cholavdi HaMelech HaShem B'Shar HaMelech Kerem Eshtachim LaHaman. They did nothing wrong. Kichet Tzivalei HaMelech. The whole thing was Me'ira. Kahaman Abavalei Kahaman. Because really, Haman is not an Evad. So if that's the case, what's Mordechai doing? Mordechai Lo Yirchav Lo Yishtachim. Bow down to him. Lav Klum Avad. So you have to know what Mordechai's cheshbon was. And you really have to know. Because he put the entire national security at risk by going ahead and be lo yirchav lo yishtachav. And you have to be miyashav. But one thing is clear, that Rav Shita in Shas is that when the Yidden were bowing down to Haman, they were doing nothing wrong. And Mordechai at Tzadik mi ikra adin Shulchan Aruch, he could have done it 100%, there would have been no problem. Rav Lishitosa in Sanhedrin Samach Aleph on the days, who holds kahaman abav loy kahaman, that really, Haman, and the fact that the Yidden were bowing down to him did not constitute Avodah Zarah. So Rav Lishitasa said that Knesset Yisrael Amr Le'idach Yisa, that Ru'u Ma'asol LeYehudi, that look at David HaMelech caused Mordechai, someone that did something so controversial that he refused to. He had a psach cheshbon. I don't know what his cheshbon was, but whatever it was, it certainly caused the entire Jewish nation to be at risk. That's why they came with tayinis. Rav Lishitasa, who holds that it wasn't avodah zara, say he was gairish ish yehudi ish yemini, not lishvach like some of the other amirah were, but Lishitasa, he was the one amirah that was gairish likenai.